Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
And in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says, one day, this is Luke speaking. He's the writer of Acts. And he's talking about himself and being with the Apostle Paul and Silas at this particular occasion. And he says, one day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. That's just what you do when you walk down the streets. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. I want you to notice fortune telling linked to demon possession. Some of you came to hear that today. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They have come to tell you how to be saved." We've got a demon evangelizing now. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her," and instantly it left her. Power in the name of Jesus, amen. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. Her masters didn't care that she was demon-possessed. All they cared about was the money. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and they dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon. I want you to notice those words, inner dungeon, and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Come on, someone get excited. How powerful is that? What can we learn from this amazing story? Friends, it's not just a story, it's an account. This actually happened. This is not a children's story. This is not wishful thinking. This actually took place. Why is that important to know? Because if God can do it back then, He can still do it today. God hasn't lost His power over 2,000 years. He is still God. And I want you to see something. Last week I spoke about how when good times come, brace yourself because the bad times are coming. But when the bad times are there, brace yourself because the good times are coming. And we all celebrated that in every Bible story, you can see that there were some good things going on and then immediately there were some bad things going on and then there were some good things. In this story, we see the exact same thing going on, except that the reality of life is there were some good things going on for Paul and Silas. They were preaching and people were finding Jesus everywhere. And then it just sort of got really bad. And then it sort of got worse. And then it just got worse. And worse. And then it got really bad. But then it got really, really good. And sometimes the reality is it doesn't go from good to bad and good to bad and good to bad. Sometimes it just goes from good to bad to bad to bad to bad to bad to good. And so what do we do during those moments when we are just stuck in the bad times? Well, we've got some lessons here to learn. And I'm hoping that God impacts your life deeply today so that you know how to get out of bad times. Amen? I want us to see some things here. These guys found themselves in prison. Now, do you know, prison is a tough place to be in. It's filled with notorious criminals who are hardened and they're tough. Some of them may be there by accident in the sense that, you know, maybe they've been unjustifiably put into prison, but most of them are there because they deserve to be there because they've committed some heinous crime that's really hurt people. Prison is a tough place. I know that personally, friends, because I myself spent 2 years in prison. Some of you don't know that. I was an employee. I was working there. I wasn't... Mate, it got dark all of a sudden. Some of you are like, what? Didn't know that about our little Lebanese pastor. Who's an Australian? I actually did work in Pentridge Prison for 2 years. And I was a payroll officer and I used to work with the prisoners. But, you know, the ones that were there because they didn't pay their parking fines, those guys. And one day, I was just starting to learn the guitar at the time. And so it was a government job. And without saying too much, let's just say that my job was done by about 11:30 a.m. And so I was a little bit bored. And so I was learning the guitar. So I thought it'd be a great idea to take my guitar to work so that after I'd done my work by about 10:30 a.m., I could start playing at 9:30 a.m. And so I brought my brand new Ibanez electric guitar to the prison and I just sort of took it through and, you know, the guard opened it up to see if there's any drugs or anything in there and, you know, to make sure I wasn't bringing things in. And so there was nothing in there not that day. And just kidding, guys. So I take the guitar in and at about 11 o'clock, I have these prison guards come in. And they're like, excuse me, that guitar that you brought in today, yes, where is it? It's just under my desk. Could you please get it? Have you left your desk at all today? No, not at all. Can you please get it out? And so I get it out and then they open that up and they check to see if there are 6 strings still on the guitar. And I'm like, yeah. They go, did you have any other spare strings? And the answer they were hoping for was no. I said, I don't know. And so because I didn't know, they had to search the whole prison to see if there were any guitar strings, because do you know why that's a problem? Two pieces of stick with the guitar string, you came to church to hear that today. Why am I telling you that story? Because the whole place had to be searched because of me. Now you understand that other things were found. No guitar strings, but other things were. And everybody wanted to know why was the search happening, and it was because of me. So while I'm walking through the prison for the next couple of months, it wasn't happy days for Pastor Richard. So I sort of get the feeling, I sort of know what Paul and Silas were feeling when they went into prison that day. So they would have been walking. So here's these two pastors. They're pastors. They're not criminals. They're two pastors being put into a prison. And there would have been huge prisoners there. Muscles, biceps, whatever type of tattoos they would have had back in the day. I don't know. And they would have been watching these little pastors in this place. Prison's a tough place to be in. I actually think that the Apostle Paul would have just sort of, as he was looking at them, he would have made statements like, you know, I used to kill people too, you know. Because, you know, he used to actually kill people. But he didn't do it. But, you know, prison's a very tough place to be in. But I want you to see something. Pastors and prisoners, for different reasons, all in prison. And I want to suggest to you today, you know what? You may be living a great life in God. But you know what? You're still going to have financial struggles just like people who don't even have a faith in God. You know what, you may be Christians and you're thinking, but you know, I'm a Christian and I should have a great marriage. You know what? Just because you're Christians, it doesn't mean you have the perfect marriage. It means, listen to what it means. It means you can get through the tough times. It doesn't mean you'll never be in tough times. There are always going to be tough times. The prisoners and the pastors were all in prison together. I need you to know that. But I want you to see something about these prisoners. These prisoners were huge, some of them may have been skinny or whatever they were doing. But you know, I'm sure those prisoners would have loved to have escaped out of that prison multiple times, but their underbelly friends weren't able to get them out of jail. They didn't, even though they had wealth, I'm sure some of them, they weren't able to use their wealth to bribe their way out of, they were still in prison. I want you to hear something today. This is really important because some people in this room, you're thinking, you know what? This whole worship and praise thing that I'm about to speak into, you're thinking, it's not really for me. Like, I don't really need it. I want to tell you, these prisoners didn't want to be there, but they weren't able to free themselves. And sometimes we can see praise and worship as something that just says those sort of Christians over there do. It's not really for me. Great. But just realize that what else and what other weapon do you have that's going to get you out of the prison that you are currently in? Because so far, it's not working. So far, you're not able to break that addiction. So far, you can't seem to change that attitude. So far, things aren't changing in your world. So listen, why don't we just humble ourselves today and just say, you know what, maybe I'm in this prison, but I'm open to whatever can get me out of it. I'm open to whatever can get me out of it today. Amen? Come on, murderers and pastors in the same place. But these guys decided to do something. They decided to start praising God. Now, I want to tell you something. You don't become top dog in a prison and make people fear you by starting to praise God. Sometimes it's not the cool thing to do to start praising God. Now, sometimes it's actually a cooler thing to actually start coming up with your own plan and your own method and your own words. But these guys decided to do something. Why? Because they understood. Friends, good things happen to us, bad things happen to us, but the only thing we get to decide is how we respond to those moments. You get to decide. What Paul and Silas decided to do was to praise God. It doesn't tell you any other prisoner was praising God yet, but they decided to start praising Him. So let's just talk about praise for a moment. Maybe you don't even know what it is. Maybe you're new here today. You're thinking, what is this praise thing? Let me tell you what it is. Praise is to confess out loud a mighty work that someone has done, is doing, or is going to do. It's confessing out loud a work that someone has done, is doing, or is going to do. Now, wait for this. I'm going to be encouraging all of us to praise God for what He has done, for what He is doing, and what He is going to do. But do you realize there is another God, small g, who also wants your praise? And I'm going to suggest to all of us that He often gets the praise that He also wants. How? When we often confess out loud to everybody the bad things that have happened to our life in the past, the bad things that are going on right now, and the bad things that could potentially happen to you in the future. When you confess all the negativity in your life out loud to people, the devil goes, Aren't I great? Look at how good I am. Look at the way they're confessing my works to people. Friends, we're going to make a decision today. The devil's going to get no more glory out of our mouth. We're not going to tell everybody about how powerful He's been. Do you know, oh man, I was so bad. Yeah, we know you used to be so bad, and that's great. But we're going to turn the table soon and start talking about how powerful God is. Come on, let's be a people that stop giving the enemy glory and praise. Let's give God what He deserves. God commands us, friends, listen to this. God commands us to praise Him because if we don't praise Him, we'll end up praising someone else. You know, either way, you're going to confess the works that are going on in your life. You're either going to confess what God's doing in your life or what people are doing to you. You're either going to confess what God wants for your life or what people have got for your life. We have to make a decision that we're going to say, no, no, I want to confess God's works. I run a great life group with some great men. And these guys are high flyers. They're doing great things. None of them are perfect, including me. And so we're all just trying to do life together. And I heard them say something amazing the other day. They said, you know what, Pastor Richard? I've just stopped listening to the filth that sometimes is on the radio. Come on, let's admit it. Some of those lyrics, they're not helping us. And one guy said, you know, I went to the gym and on the way home, He goes, usually I've got to get home and I've got to help the kids get ready and I've got to get the lunches ready. He goes, and I start to get stressed and I start to yell at the kids. And he was being very honest. He says, but I've made a decision. As soon as I get out of the gym, he says, I put the worship music on and I start praising God. He says, by the time I get home, he says, I'm full of faith. I'm full of gentleness. I'm full of love. He says, I'm just a better person. And then he says this. He was quite prophetic. He didn't even realize what he was saying. He says, you know what I've learned? It's hard to worry and worship at the same time. Come on. Wow. It's hard to worry and worship at the same time. It's hard to tell God that He's in control of your life and then be worried about what's happening in your life. We've got to make a decision. Are we going to worry and confess all the negativity that could happen in your life? Or are we going to make a decision to worship God, say, God, my life is in your hands. Are you with me? Come on, let's make a decision. These guys decided to praise God. See, guys, the devil made a huge mistake this day. He made a huge mistake. He thought, if I could just clamp their feet, I can stop them. What he should have done was shut their mouth. And so while you've still got a mouth, maybe you feel like you can't move forward in life at the moment. Maybe you feel like you can't do things that you want to do. But if you've got a mouth and you can worship God and you can begin to praise Him, friends, the enemy cannot slow you down as long as you are willing to worship Him and praise Him and give Him all the glory that He deserves. The enemy can't shut our mouth. It's our decision to do that. And I'm going to suggest to all of us, come on, guys, let's not believe the lie. Let's allow God to do what He's trying to do in our lives. Some of us are like, is it really that important? Do you know, the Word of God, the Bible, it's full of interesting stories. But amongst the interesting stories in the midst of it all, there are some principles there. One day there was a king, and this king was rejecting God in his life. God is the one who appointed him, but then he began to reject him. And so God began to pull back from his life. Let me tell you something about God, friend. God never brings evil into your life. Oh, look, this is so important. I've got to help you get this. Wait, God never brings evil into your life. Never. Okay. If I want to bring darkness into this room, I don't have to bring darkness in. All I've got to do is turn off the light. As soon as you turn off the light, friend, darkness automatically comes. As soon as you don't want God in your life, God doesn't have to bring evil into your life. The enemy, the darkness, comes straight in. Because where there is no light, there is darkness. Are you hearing that? Now, I needed to tell you that because you need to see this scripture in a moment. In 1 Samuel, have a look at what it says. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. So God had left the building, is that right? And the Lord sent a tormenting spirit. Oh, there it is. God brought a tormenting spirit. No. By God pulling back, it automatically drags it in. Did you hear that? When God pulls back, the darkness comes. He says, a tormenting spirit that filled who? Saul with depression and fear. So here's this guy, he's a king, and he's filled with depression and fear. Can anyone identify with that? Have a look at what it says next. Some of Saul's servants said to him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Look at what it says next. Let us find a good... What? Let us find a good... But by the way, it does say good, musician. Let us find a godly John Mayer to play the harp, which is a Fender Stratocaster today, and whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will play soothing music and you will be well again. Friends, that's your and my Bible. What's that telling you? Are you feeling a bit depressed sometimes? You know what? Sometimes we want to do everything else but what the Bible says to do. Get around some good, healthy worship music and begin to praise God. And you will start to see that fear melt away and drift away. Friends, it's powerful. And the Bible says that King Saul used to feel better when King David would do that. It was King David, by the way, who was playing for him. Hey, come on, we need to get the revelation. What's going on in your world right now? I wonder if you would open up your mouth and worship him, whether God could begin to do something in you. Did you notice they didn't say, let us find you a preacher? Did you notice it doesn't say, let us find you a preacher? It didn't say, let us find you the latest Judah Smith book. I read his books as much as anyone else does, but that's not what they offered him. They said, start worshiping, Saul. Start getting around the presence of God. You know what's going to happen here today and tonight? Some of you are going to walk into this place full of depression and fear, and just the music itself is going to begin to penetrate you, and you're going to feel a lift, and it's going to remind you of how life used to be. Because for some of you, you can't even remember how life used to be fear-free and depression. And you're going to get a sense of, oh, this is what it was like again. And then you can begin to chase it. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a huge round of applause. Is anyone getting something out of this? You know, that's why in the Bible, whenever the armies wanted to go into battle, the Bible says, send Judah in first. Do you know what Judah actually means? Praise. You're going through a battle? Praise him. Praise him. Begin to talk about what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. Do you know, the Bible says that they began to sing hymns and praises. If you actually look up that word hymn and praise, it's actually the word Hallel. Not halal, as in the meat. Hallel. Hallel. H-E-L-L-E-L. Hallel. And what is the Hallel? The Hallel are the Psalms. It's the singing of Psalms from Psalm 113 to 119 and Psalm 136. I've just pulled out a few verses here for you to show you what they were singing. This is what they were singing. Psalm 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. These guys are in stocks. They've got chains around their feet and they're singing from the rising of the sun. That's what they were singing. Is the sun still out? Yeah. Come on, Silas, once again. From the rising of the sun. And all the prisoners are like, are these guys kidding or what? Are they in the same sort of cell that we're in? Yes, they are. But they're just deciding that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. I love that. What else were they singing? Psalm 114, verse 7. Listen to what it says. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Now, I'm pointing these scriptures out to you on purpose. Wait for the next one. Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. Are you seeing what's going on here? What they were praising God about while they were in stocks, it wasn't too much later that God said, you know what? I will tremble the earth and I will open up doors. If you will just praise me for what you can't see today, if you will just praise me for it, then maybe I can bring it into your world. You are the God who prospers me, and you're going half broke. You are the God who'll give me a promotion. And yesterday you heard you were going to be sacked. Maybe God is just waiting for our praise, and maybe he can give us what we've already thanked him for, because God doesn't like being in debt to anybody. And if you will thank him for something that hasn't even happened yet, God says, well, I'm in debt now because they've thanked me for something that I haven't even done. So I better do it for them. Or are we just going to confess and be negative about what we are already in? Because then the enemy says, well, I'll give you more of that. Come on, let's be disciplined with the friends. The miracle is in our mouth. And we get to decide what we're going to be telling God, what we're going to be telling others. Are you with me? Do you know the Bible says that the other prisoners were listening? Do you remember that part? I'm going to mess some of you up right now. Is that okay? It says the other prisoners were listening. Listen, these walls were not a bit of timber and a little bit of plasterboard. They were thick, soft. They were actually in caves almost. How were the other prisoners listening to them? Because they were singing loud. Actually, the Hallel praise is only to be sung very loud. That's a culture. Friend, don't be a quiet praiser. Don't be a quiet praiser. Jesus said, what I've told you in secret, shout it from the housetops. When they were walking around Jericho, God didn't say, now listen, look at the walls and just go, please come down. Sometimes you just got to shout. You've just got to shout and you've got to be loud. That's why we don't want a quiet church. Oh, it's so loud at Lifehouse. Yes, God's praises are to be loud. People around us should be hearing what's going on at that place. The other prisoners, I'm very excited about this. The other prisoners, it says, could hear them singing. Now listen, you and I know that it doesn't tell us the prisoners began to sing. They just heard them singing. And when the person standing right beside you, who may be a prisoner in some area of their life, when they begin to hear you right beside them, begin to praise God, you know what? What you don't realize is not only are the chains coming off your feet, but the chains are coming off the feet of the person standing right beside you. And it's because of your praise that people start to go, you know what? I just feel like I'm free. And they didn't even open their mouth. That's the power that we can have. Come on, God was being praised in advance. Let me tell you this. Praising God for what he has done is gratefulness. Praising God for what he's doing in your life today, that's thankfulness. But praising God what he is yet to do is faith. So I want to ask you today, are you living in gratefulness? That's great. Are you living in thankfulness? Even better. But the cherry is, are you living in faith? Come on, what are we yet to praise God for? Let's begin to praise him. At the end of this service, we're going to stand up. We're going to do a little bit of this. Everyone's chains came off. Parents, you've got the power to break chains off your children's lives. How? Praise him. But my kids, I don't even think they're in church at the moment. What, are they in prison somewhere with chains on their feet? You can praise God for them. Don't go telling everybody about how bad their lives are. Now, I understand you need some people that you've got to explain what's happening in their life. But friends, I'm telling you now, that's not the answer to get them out of the jail. It's when you stand before God and say, my daughter is going to be with us. Amen?
Amen.
My son is not going to be addicted to drugs. Thank you, my God, that my son, not only is he going to love you, but he's going to serve you and he's going to bring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to you. Thank you, God, that my daughter is going to wait until she's married, and I thank you, God, she's going to find a godly man and she's going to stop going out with losers and all they want to do is use and abuse her. Come on, begin to praise God. And all of a sudden your kids go, you know what, Dad, I just don't want to go out with that guy anymore. And you're like, yes, praising God works. Hey, I've got a whole lot of dads amening me right now. They're like, got you, Pastor Rich. When is she going to wake up? Well, you know what? When are we going to praise? Come on, let's praise him. Friends, this isn't just like nice words. Do you know, in our church, and I'm going to speak really positively here, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that come to church on time. Do you know why they do that? Because they realize that the preaching doesn't break the chains. The preaching doesn't deliver people. It's their praise. There's a whole lot of people that get in here early because they don't see the praise and worship as pre-game entertainment. It's not Tina Turner, guys. It's not Meatloaf at the grand final here. You know what I mean? Like, Pastor Richard isn't the grand final and, you know, the throwing up of the ball is actually when we begin to worship. Yeah, let me tell you what this is. Let me tell you, this is the 20 minutes. This is the halftime break. That's all this is, where the coach goes, come on, guys. But really the game is when your hands are held high, when you're singing. That's the game. That's the game. Not the preaching. The worship of God is the game. Yeah, but I don't like worshiping. I'm not like a worshiper. Okay, I've got something to say to you. God didn't create you to evangelize. There was no one to evangelize. Everybody was saved. God didn't create you to make just a lot of money because the money system wasn't even created. You were supposed to be walking naked, eating apples off trees. Let me tell you what you were created for, to worship. And sometimes we're very busy doing all the other things that we think God has called us to do, except for the very thing that He created us to do, and that is to worship Him. How do we know this to be true? What are we going to do when we get into heaven? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Let's sing it again. Holy, holy. And the Bible says we're going to be singing that for all eternity. You're thinking, oh, how boring is that? How boring. What, no motorbike riding? What do you mean? Do you know half the reason you love motorbike riding is the thrill that you can almost die? And the fact that you didn't die that Saturday, you're like, woohoo, I love motorbike riding. Do you know in heaven, you can go off the biggest jumps, let go of the bike, you're still not going to die. So what are we created for? We're created to worship. You're created to worship. Do the thing you were created to do, and then you find yourself being the person you're meant to be, with the power you're meant to have, with the knowledge that God can impart into your life. Is this okay? Hey, listen, it's supposed to be an everyday thing. When we praise God privately, when we praise Him privately, that's prayer. When you get with another person and you both praise God together, that's encouragement. When you praise God to a non-Christian, someone who has no faith, that's evangelism. But did you know when a group of people like this all come together and we all begin to praise God together, do you know what that is? That's groundbreaking, earth-shattering, gates-opening. God can do something. Praise, and God wants to mess us up.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.